Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday evening, and I'm grateful to be here. My thanks to Frank Motek. Always great to take over for him. And I want to begin the program with something that I think is on a lot of our minds. Now, I'm going to be a bit transparent here, and we're going to open the phone lines immediately. Years ago, before I became a follower of Christ, and I was very much in the world, my penchant, my appetite was for gambling. Can't even get the words out. Just even saying gambling gets me a little shook up. Now, the buzz is the Mega Millions. Driving in, I heard the reports, $1.2. It's now $1.3 billion. So I want to start the program and just have a little fun. I want to open the phone lines, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Tricia is who you speak with before you get on the air with me. Question, have you played the Mega Millions? And the second part of that, if you have, let's talk a little bit about, oh, what we're going to do with the money. Now I'm going to be very clear. I did not play it. Since I became a follower of Christ, I have not gambled 1 cent on anything. And for me, the lottery is gambling. Now, this is for me, not for you necessarily. But I would love to just talk for a segment. Again, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. Have you played the Mega Millions? Maybe you're in line right now. And, you know, I find it fascinating when we and I'm not here again. This is me. Not you. No one else. But when I fill my head with I'm going to do this or if that happens, I'm going to do that. Here's an example. I love racehorses. One of my good friends is a trainer, go unnamed. I had a racehorse 10 years ago or a 20% share. He did not do all that well. But I remember when I got him, I'm thinking, boy, if I'm going to, right? You fill in all those blanks. Now, I'm looking at the board. It's a little quiet. So maybe none of our listeners have even thought about playing the Mega Millions. Now, I just want to be very direct. This is going to be only one segment. I've got so much to cover in the short time we are on the air. Now, come on. Now here's my thought. Even if it's just, I didn't even know how much it was. I had to ask an employee here who will go unnamed, who played. And I do hope said employee wins. Even if it's $2, you know, it's a $2 fantasy, right? For $2, you get excited. I'm okay with that. For me, it's not for me. And I have no problem keeping my own thoughts to myself. But I know it's everywhere. It's the story. It's the nationwide story, other than some of the other things we're dealing with in our country, especially out of the White House. So question on the table, have you played the Mega Millions, specifically this one? And maybe you could share, because I'm sure there may be just one person thinking, well, I've played it, but I don't know what I'm going to do with the money if I win, right? Y'all have that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So two questions. Have you played this Mega Millions? And if you win, by the way, I think the odds are 320 million to one. I heard that stat coming in. What would you do with the money? Let's go top down. Katie in Newport. Katie, thank you for calling the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi there. How's it going?
Okay. How about you, Katie?
Great. I'm actually on my way to go buy some tickets.
Uh-oh. Here we go. So, have you ever played before?
Yes, only when the pot goes really large.
Okay. And how many tickets are you going to buy?
I'm going to buy $20
worth. $20
worth.
Okay. Yeah, you better get there. Somebody just said in my headphones, you better get there quick.
Yep, I'm pulling up. I wanted to talk to you.
Okay.
And, I'm excited about the thought. I know it's minuscule, but why not give it a shot?
So I don't want to hold you up if there's a line, but very quickly, I'm sure you've thought about what you would do. What would you do if you won that money?
Oh, sure. I'd pay off my student loans along with all my siblings. I'd buy each family member a house of their home, and I would take a huge group of friends and family around the world on one of those cruise ships that just takes you throughout the entire world and all the oceans and
wow.
You know, whoever could come, I would do it.
You've done some thought. So, and you would buy your favorite talk show host a brand new thoroughbred racehorse, right?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. You got it. After this combo, it's yours.
Katie, best of luck to you.
Absolutely donating a lot to charity. I'm already involved in some philanthropy, so that would be a big one, too.
Amen. Thank you. And if you win, call us back. Call us back regardless, Katie.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All righty. Bye-bye. George in Long Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. You're on KABC 790. What's up, George?
Hi, Frank. Thank you for your time. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, brother.
Awesome. Yes, I've never played before. I'm already a millionaire. I live in Long Beach. I make really good money. But I'm buying. I feel bad after I heard you say it's part of gambling, Christ, and you turn your life to Christ. And I have, too. And I'm like, what would I do with the money now, though, if I did win? Because I already bought the tickets. I bought 10 tickets. I already knew what I was going to do with the money. And it would literally be to help all the homeless that we have, crisis that we have here in Los Angeles, and build hospitals to help with the mental illness, pay case managers more money, and create a lot of jobs and a lot of properties to help California, since this governor's not doing it. That's what I do with the money.
All very noble endeavors, George. I appreciate you and thank you for calling. And by the way, in terms of being a Christian or a follower of Christ, if God really wants you to win it, you only need to buy one. But that's my thing. George, thank you. God bless you. Brian in Westlake, thank you for calling the Frank Sontag Show. What's up, Brian?
Why, hello, Frank. First time hearing you. I haven't turned on KBC in a while, but I always like listening, and I always like participating, so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You are welcome anytime. I'm on every Friday night from this time until 9, so you're welcomed.
Okay, cool. So the question, I like what that last guy said. He must be in real estate, because real estate's a great business. It creates so many millionaires. I am in real estate, and I probably have a million in equity, but I like to I like to play. I've already won, I think, $1,500 earlier this year, and you know, I don't go crazy. But every time I go to the liquor store, I get my morning water. I'll buy a couple of Super Lotto and then a couple of Mega Millions. I like Super Lotto because I double my chances over Mega, and if I win, it's 7 million versus, say, a billion. With 7 million, I can make a lot happen with that. And I so well in Westlake, there's some great new homes that this developer is building. I would buy a new home, and then I would go to work almost exactly like last caller did, and you know, start developing homes. And you know, in Los Angeles, you know, the amount of multi-residential builds has to be allotted to you know, lower income. So I would do that. And I always help my homeless brothers on the street. I'll pull over and say, "What are you hungry for?" And I'll go get them. Just don't move. And I'll go buy them some food. And it really makes me feel. So I help as many needy people that came across my path as could. But mostly just get that dream house and help other people if I can. I don't know. Have fun. Go travel. See the world again.
All right, Brian. Thank you. I've got calls stacked up. Brian, thank you very much. Jeannie is in Pasadena. Jeannie, did you play the lottery? And if you did, or I should say the Mega Millions, what would you do with the money?
I did not.
Uh-oh.
I, like you, have never bought a lottery ticket. But if I was to be blessed with extra money, I would first thing pay off my debts, but I would also open up an animal sanctuary. And yes, we can have horses and you can come ride anytime you want.
All right. That sounds like a deal. Jeannie, thank you for the call. I want to take Tim in Moore Park. Tim, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Tim, I'm Tim Callum Carrion. I don't gamble. I don't buy any lottery tickets. But if I did, I'd use the money to run for U.S. president. My last name is Callum Carrion, and it's K-A-L-E-M-K-A-R-I-A-N. I'm the best major candidate. My platform is love, peace, joy, truth, freedom, and self-control, and I am a Christian.
Okay, wonderful. Tim, thank you, and I bet you've never called a radio show before. Thank you for the call. Let me give a thought or two in something I would like to carry over to the next segment. Now, again, if you're thinking of calling or you're calling and you want to talk about the Mega Millions, we're done. But here's something I'd like you to think about in the few moments we have before we come back. If you've purchased a ticket and it's only human nature and only, I think we would all do it. You kind of dream, you know, what would I do? And you get excited and you think, boy, I'll do this and help humanity. And we get very excited. Here's the question. The money aside, are you that excited about your life, period? Do you have that spark, that passion for life and for living life to its fullest and for helping others? And I want to pursue that a little bit because there's something very valuable I think I can impart with you and to you. And this involves me too. But you get what I'm saying here? We get excited about financial prowess or some level of incomprehensible wealth. But isn't the truth that we are already wealthy? I want to talk about that on the other side, and we'll take some calls. 800-222-KABC. Please continue listening. This is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Little Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits for you. One of the most amazing interviews I was ever a part of many years ago was Mark Knopfler in studio talking about composing. He played as well. That man is mega talented. Get it? Get it? Pun intended. Welcome back to the program. If you're just joining us, we talked a little bit in the first segment about the Mega Millions, which my understanding is it's at about $1.3 billion now. We took calls, invited you to kind of dream a little bit about if you did play and you did win, what would you do with all that money? And it's naturally exciting. I mean, I can relate to that, even though for the sake of accuracy, I have not played. But the question is, that level of excitement, are you that excited about your life, just period? Are you that passionate about, oh, I don't know, living life to its fullest or helping others? It's noble, indeed, if you had a lot of financial ability to help others. I get that. But just the intrinsic realities of giving with something like kindness or love is invaluable. Now, I know I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but I'd really like you to think about this. Because we live in a time now where depression is skyrocketing, drug addiction, all the problems we have in our country. And I'm not minimizing any of that. And financially, many of us are struggling, even though I guess we're not in a recession, depending on who you talk to. You have to laugh, because if not, you get kind of angry. But just be grateful for what you have. And let me use an analogy that I think in some ways we all can relate to. And I'll speak for myself. I take my health for granted. Right? I just kind of buzz along. I try to take care of myself. And then if I get some cootie bug or something not feeling well, it's like, man, did I really take just waking up and feeling good for granted? Let alone some of the sad realities we face in life. With serious illness, we've all lost people we love a great deal. But just have a level of gratitude. And just this idea of when you wake up in the morning, be excited about your life. Right. We as followers of Christ, I'll speak for my men's ministry. We have this thing when we wake up, we say, God, thank you for waking us up. Thank you for waking me up today. What do you have for my life today? How can I serve you? How can I honor you? How can I glorify you? And sometimes it's to battle wisely. I think we're in a battle. I think this is a battle for the hearts and souls of people. In fact, I didn't plan on doing this, but sometimes things are a bit, shall we say, they flow well. Someone sent me this. It's called Weapons for Spiritual War in a Post-Truth World. Let me just read you some of this. Men are men. Women are women. A man cannot become a woman. A woman cannot become a man. Men are better at some things than women. Women are better at some things than men. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Children should not be exploited or abused. Men should protect and provide for the family. Women should nurture and care for the family. Now, here we go. Let's lean in a little bit deeper. These statements were self-evident truths for thousands of years. Only in the past few decades did they become hateful or bigoted. Satan is attempting to turn God's creation upside down and invert it. Up is down, left is right, right is wrong, evil is good, good is evil. The truth is relative and whatever you want it to be. These are the lies of the enemy. This is the post-truth trash world. This listener who wanted to be anonymous says, I was having a discussion with my pastor about these things earlier. He said something that struck me. It should come as no surprise when worldly people fall into the trap of completely rejecting truth. But what is astonishing to see is that people who call themselves Christians are buying into lies of the enemy wholesale without question. Wear the mask. Don't question it. Lock down the church. Don't question it. Yes, take the experimental DNA-altering aborted fetal tissue vaccine. Don't question it. Oh, and this next one. Oh, boy. Somebody's going to be upset. Accept the election results despite the rampant irregularities. Don't question it. Uh-oh. Support Congress sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. Don't question it. Hand over your guns. Don't question it. Attack, demonize, and destroy anyone who questions it. The rejection of truth by Christian causes those of us who are grounded in God's truth to become incredibly frustrated, even dizzy at the prospect of trying to communicate effectively and wade through the adversary's mountain of lies. This is what the enemy wants, and we must fight back against the urge to stay silent. If Christians are denying God's truth when it is right in front of their faces, we have a big problem and we need to course correct quickly. How do you do that? Well, the only way to do it is by speaking the truth loudly, boldly, and often. If we're going to win a spiritual war, we must dare to stand for God's truth in this post-truth world. But how do we do that? The listener that sent this in says, here's a few simple examples. Boldly defend the sanctity of life in a world that praises child sacrifice. Boldly defend the holiness of marriage between one man and one woman as God designed. Boldly defend God's creation and the unique roles and gifts God has given men and women. Boldly rebuke the den of vipers and their wicked ways and boldly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last part of this, and then I'll share some of my thoughts. This is a spiritual battle. And therefore, we must use spiritual weapons to expose and fight the enemies of truth, including when those enemies of truth happen to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must lovingly and boldly rebuke Christians who reject truth in favor of political allegiances and narratives and let God handle the rest. Last thought, and again, this is directed at Christians. I realize this isn't a Christian radio station. I am a Christian. We're not going to be heavily into faith. I'm not pushing anything. But I think this is a powerful piece when you talk about rebuking other people that call themselves Christians. So if you identify yourself as a Christian, this last sentence or two should at the very least make you think a little bit. You ready? Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to feel good about yourself or to live in apathetic complacency as his enemies mock, attack, and destroy truth. He didn't tell us to sit around getting crushed by the enemy waiting to die. We were commanded to make disciples of all the nations, and Jesus is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Now, that's from a listener. My thoughts. I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to push my faith on the show. I have a men's ministry. We call all men to discover the purpose and plan that God has for their lives. But whatever your level of faith or lack thereof, when you look around to society, do you kind of wonder what's going on here? Things are escalating and not for the good. You know, we as followers of Christ, we look to the Bible. Says something about the last days in the Bible. We think, well, we're getting there. But life is a gift. Life is a sacred gift. And God puts something in you that if you haven't discovered it yet, I invite you and challenge you to find out what it is. He made you like no one else. You are unique. You are special. You are gifted. You are amazing. You are a masterpiece. And if you don't know your purpose and plan in your life, this is the time to start right now. Take one step forward by admitting the truth. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what my purpose is. That's okay. But stop being distracted. Stop buying into all of the nonsense that's going on in the world day in and day out. Because we believe the enemy is at hand. Evil doesn't even hide itself anymore. Maybe on the other side, I'll share a study. Japanese researchers did something very out of the ordinary that I think we all can relate to. And I pray that you reach out to me. Send me an email at franksontag.com. If you don't know who I am, find out more of what I do. Again, I'm here to tell you, life is precious. Life is incredible. Celebrate today, for tomorrow is not guaranteed. And that four-letter word that we throw around so casually, the love word, it's the key to everything. And yes, I believe someone died on the cross for you and for me, the ultimate act of love. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. If you want to find out more about this program, email me. Let us know what you think. We're on every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. What would a program be without little Styx bumper music for you? Welcome back to the program. This is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you're new to the program, this is the start of our second month. We are here every Friday evening from 7 until 9. Welcome to the program. I have been in radio for a few years. I've done this before. And this program is, well, exceptional, and I'm excited about it. And where we can go with it. I've got a lot of ideas, and you are integral in those ideas. One of the things I'm thinking about doing is once a month having a big get-together locally here in L.A. I reached out to a few possible auditoriums, venue sites this week. We would get together and just, I would share a bit of my thoughts, and we kind of do a little interaction. Kind of a, not a town hall meeting, but just get together and get to know each other. If that sounds like something you'd like to find out more about, on next Friday night's program, we're going to give you some specific information. I think we need each other. I think the lies of the media are just that, lies. I don't think we're as separated as it's made out to be. Never has this country been more divided. Ah, I say hooey. I don't believe it. What's part of the key to having a good life? Or I'll say it differently. What do you struggle with in this life? Some of us may say a whole array of things. Finances, relationships. How about social media? How about cell phones? Now, I don't want to sound like I'm a hypocrite. I am in social media, on social media, personal page, Facebook, show page, all that stuff. But listen to this story. And I'm going to recommend a book if you read it all. By the way, statistics say 10% of everyone listening right now will read an entire book in a year. The other 90% won't even read a book. We are very illiterate as readers. But I happen to think reading makes you better. I read a lot. I'm going to recommend a book after I tell you this. If you spend too much time on your smartphone, a new study shows it really might be more enjoyable to put that phone down and just let your mind wander. Listen to this. Researchers in Japan tasked volunteers with sitting in a room without any distractions, such as a smartphone, for up to 20 minutes. So they had to sit you down in a room without your smartphone, and they just say, just sit there. Now, I think most of us would go, oh, that sounds awful. But that's not what they found out. Listen to this. Over several different scenarios, participants underestimated how enjoyable it actually was to sit and think without anything to distract them. The results are interesting and noteworthy in our modern era of information overload and constant access to distractions. The experts say, including pervasive forms of technology. Researchers listed the top 10 tactics to cut smartphone addiction down. What do you think the number one? I'm not going to go through all 10. But what do you think the number one little adjustment you can make to help you with your love affair and your, if you will, your hate affair with your smartphone? What's the one thing you can do? Disable smartphone notifications, right? When the notifications pop up, oh, we got to check it out. And they say the number one thing you can do is disable all that stuff. Researchers conducted a series of six experiments and compared people's predictions of how much they would enjoy simply sitting and thinking with their actual experience of doing so. Most people said, no way. I'll sit here 5 minutes. I'd rather do anything else than just sit. But here's what they found out. After they were not permitted to do anything distracting, such as reading, walking around, looking at a smartphone, even taking a quick snooze. Couldn't do any of that stuff. But a very strange thing happened. The majority, overwhelming majority of participants said how much they'd enjoy doing nothing other than just sitting in a chair. Researchers found that people enjoyed spending time with their thoughts significantly more than they thought they would. This held true across variations of the experiment, whether they sat in a bare conference room or in a small, dark, tented area with no visual stimulation, or if they were sitting for 3 minutes or up to 20 minutes. I'm not surprised. I studied this stuff years ago. We have an imagination. We don't use it a whole lot. We get bombarded staring at our phones like we've got to just be so connected to everything. I think the average person stares at a screen for nearly 10 hours a day, which is horrifying. I was having a passionate discussion with my 14-year-old son the other day. And you may say that this is Not worth having that kind of a discussion, but I disagree. He's very much enthralled now by the NBA, and YouTube has, quote-unquote, highlights of NBA games, where it's a flash cut every 2 seconds. They'll show a play, show a play, show a play. It's kind of exciting. And I told him, I said, dude, that is not healthy for you. 14-year-old knows all the answers. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's not good for your brain. It messes with the natural cadence of life. You start watching that enough, let alone staring at screens and everything else that we do. And again, this study perfectly portrays what people thought would be the truth, which wasn't, that I'll be bored if I'm just sitting there by myself. But the fact is we have all these faculties inside. God put in us to enjoy life. Take a walk on a beach. Leave your cell phone. I can't. I've got to have my cell phone with me. No, you don't. We are right now living at a time where we've never had more of an assault on our senses. Call it technology, call it information, whatever it is. Where you literally, you're joined at the hip with that oxymoronic smartphone. Now, and I'm not a Luddite. I'm not arguing for no technology. We just need to hang out in caves and cook with fire. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there is a deleterious effect by all of this technology. We're upsetting the natural cadences of life. We're getting used to things we should not be getting used to. And you know it on some level. When you sit there and you park on Instagram, and I'm just going to do a scroll, and the next thing you know, 20 minutes go by, and you're like, what did I just do? Those are 20 minutes you're never going to get back in your life. And I can almost guarantee you, I don't want to get morbid here, but as you take your last breath, I venture to guess very few people will go, oh, if I only could have spent more time watching and looking at social media. I don't think that's the case. It gets back to my previous segment about live life to its fullest. Take a risk. Do something exciting. Do something scary. I'm not advocating jumping out of planes or anything like that, although I have a friend that's done 99 jumps. I have a friend in the other room that has also done it. But how about balance? How about turning that phone off for a certain segment of time and embracing the natural realm? Go for a walk. Right? Just, dare I say, enjoy God's creation. Here's a book that will, if you read it, will definitely challenge you. Now, it was written about 30 years ago. It's still available. I went online, and you can pick it up for a few bucks. It's called In the Absence of the Sacred. And it's written by a guy, this is his name, don't laugh, Gerrymander. I think the actual title of the book is In the Absence of the Sacred, The Failure of Technology and the Survival of the Indian Nations. He gets into some indigenous stuff. But it's a good read. He starts the book off in chapter one about all of the things that a few generations ago, technologically speaking, that we didn't have. He uses the analogy of living at the end of a dirt road. One last thought. When you go on vacation, stereotypically, aren't the vacations you really remember? Yeah, I know the ones where you do fun things and you sightsee or do whatever you love to do. But aren't some of those vacations where you just had downtime? You just felt the sun on your face or whatever it was? We're spiritually dying because we live in a culture of death. And all I'm saying to you is you have an enormous amount of power inside to flip the switch and live life to its fullest. And really celebrate the gift of life. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Hey, how about that mask mandate that didn't come down? We'll talk about maybe that on the other side and some other things as well. Phone lines are open if you want to share. 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show as we continue next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talked a little bit about reading and how stats would say literally 10% of the population will read one book in an entire year, and the other 90% does not read. It's a scary statistic. But here's kind of a funny, bizarre story that I just had to share with you. A high-profile NFL quarterback. In fact, I'll name him in a moment. Has a five-year, $230 million deal with a clause. And the clause is he has to read 4 hours of game film every week. Or else it voids part of his contract. He doesn't get to make all that money. Literally, that's a clause in his contract. 5 years, $230 million. But he's got to read 4 hours, literally, of script and watch 4 hours of game film every week. Now, for some reason, I'm not here to bash Kyler Murray. He's a heck of a quarterback. He plays for, I think, Arizona. But 5 years, $230 million. If my math serves me correctly, that's like $46 million a year. But he's got to watch game film and read 4 hours. And they have all sorts of ways of checking him. What about somebody pay you $46 million to play a sport that you like but you have to read? We're amazing entities as human beings. We have so much ability, and yet so many of us are wounded. So many of us have gone through horrible things in our lives. Some of us struggle to even recover from childhood things. I made mention of alcoholism and drug addiction in our culture. You know, I've got a wonderful new sponsor, LaVie Counseling. Didn't plan on doing this. But if you need help, if you're struggling, if you just want to sit down one-on-one with somebody that will help you get clear on issues in life, reach out to my friend Dr. Mark Baker at LaVie Counseling. Their website is laviecounseling.org, L-A-V-I-E, laviecounseling.org. And they have a special number for KABC listeners, 800-483-9591. Do you know each year alcohol kills approximately 95,000 people? 68,000 men, 27,000 women. Alcohol is the third leading preventable, throw an extra consonant in there, cause of death in the United States. First is tobacco. The second leading killer in America is poor diet and a lack of exercise. So these are things that we can change. But there's much more going on. If someone's not excited or passionate about their life or they're struggling with pains from the past, it doesn't have to be that way. That's part of why we started a men's ministry years ago. I look at men in our culture, man, pun intended, the attack on manhood, and I'm not insensitive like there isn't an attack on womanhood. There obviously is. But this idea of now we live in a time where there's no such thing as two genders, no such thing as male and female. It's whatever you make it up to be, whatever you feel you are. God made us in his image and in a specific way. Life does not have to be this difficult. And many years ago, I figured out, you know, the likelihood that somebody else is going to mess up my life is a reality. But truth be told, I'm my own worst enemy. If somebody is going to, you know, mess up my life, it's probably going to be me. And we have access to so many of the healing arts, if you will. I'm a big advocate of prayer, which is something we will talk about in the not-too-distant future. How many of you thinking right now we're going to end this hour as we began? We talked about the Mega Millions, and if I win $1.2 or $3 billion, oh my gosh, my life's going to be incredible. And I hope you do, and I hope it is. I hope your life's incredible regardless of whether you are the one person in 320 million. But statistics say the majority of people that win all that money, their lives are worse after. I don't need to get specific how that is. Look it up for yourself. It's true. But thinking about if I just win that and, oh, I'm going to pay my bills and it's exciting and all that. Okay. But you don't need that to be excited about your life. Sometimes it's just an attitude shift. A basketball coach of generations past that I had some interaction with used to tell us, you cannot control anybody else's behavior, but you can control yours and how you respond to things. And I know we live in a time where the victim mentality is alive and well. Is this thing on? I mean, there's a payoff to playing a victim. But why do that? I have seen scores of people decide to be completely responsible for their life, make that step, and their life turns around, and they are contributing in ways that $1.3 billion will pale in comparison. How can you put a price tag on loving somebody? How can you put a price tag on being the solution and not the problem? I am passionate about this. And it's interesting. Many years ago, I was a New Age teacher. And when I gave my life to Christ in 2009, I am a follower of Jesus, and I believe the Bible is inerrant in so many things. And I'm not here to push my faith on you, but I do believe God didn't make mistakes. He made you a certain way. I wish I could just sit down with each and every one of you. And I'm not here to convince you, but just look in your eyes and say, you know, how's your life? And if it's a struggle, it can get better. Don't ever give up. Don't ever tap out, even though that is sometimes an alternative. When we're in so much pain, we think we can't do it anymore, when the truth is we want the pain to stop. Growing up, I was very heavy. I was short, and here's a word not politically correct, I was short and fat. I had asthma, got picked on in high school. I remember I was 13 years old. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you'll never be active. You're going to have this the rest of your life. He even said something like, you're going to struggle to walk into a breeze. And I went home and I cried. It was like I had a diagnosis of death. I remember like it was yesterday. I was 13. I laid in bed for about an hour, freaking out, and then it dawned on me. Hey, this one dude's opinion. I got up, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to go outside and walk. Again, I was obese, walked about a half a mile, thought I was going to die. And then the next day I walked a little farther, then, you know, tried to run a little bit. Next thing you know, I'm playing high school basketball. My asthma disappeared. Heart disease, obesity, we've got some serious problems in our culture. Doesn't have to be that way. For the men out there, I've got a minute before I got a break. There's a guy named David Goggins. Boy, he needs some soap in his mouth. His story's amazing. It was on Joe Rogan a number of months ago. Every other word out of his mouth is an expletive. But you talk about a guy that is linear in terms of active now and get after it. It would be David Goggins. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to run an audio clip of a good friend of mine who talks about the life of David Goggins. But I bring him up to tell you, he's no different than you. Your life can be everything you want it to be. And yes, dream. But God gives you immense, incredible abilities. Don't wait another day. Get active. Get involved. If we can help you, reach out to us. Go to franksontag.com. Let me know what I can do for you. If you're a man, get involved in our men's ministry. The very least, keep listening to this program. We are here every Friday night from 7 to 9. You are listening to the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC.